All Eyes on Fishing with Mitch Peterson, Josh Sheldon, and Brad Qualley, leading you to the next level.
Hey everybody, welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. Tonight's podcast, we're going to be talking about trolling again, right? Because this is part two, but it's trolling spinners.
Part two.
No, because we had, like, after we put that...
For our French fans.
Yeah.
It's part two.
Okay, that's
right. So we had, when we put out part one, we talked a lot about open water trolling with cranks and things like that, how to do S-turns and everything, and had a lot of people saying, well, what about, is there any other rigs that you troll?
Or weight systems.
Well, I know. That's how it kind of started when we started answering a bunch of people back. So we're like, yeah, we troll a lot of spinners. Matter of fact, last week, Josh fished a tournament, and it was a spinner bite. That's this time of year. You know, once that water temperature is about 60, you start getting that live bait rig bite, spinners are going too.
Yeah. Well, and it's a great way to kind of break it up from doing cranks, you know. And it's a crankbait bite too, trolling crankbaits right now. It's still that, but
it's a good way
to kind of slow down a little and put it in front of their face. And you know, it's also a really good method to troll over cover if you've got submerged brush, or you have weed growth that's starting to come up from the bottom, or trees like at Lake McConaughey. You know, it's a great way to start to do that and be pretty successful doing it. There's a lot of big fish that like to come up.
You can catch a lot of good fish pulling spinners, you're right. I do, and I'll ask Mitch this or you, Josh. It's kind of hard to pull spinners when it ends up getting wavy or when there's a ton of boat traffic.
Yeah, you have to be
real
careful.
Because of consistency.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hardest part with spinners is, especially if you, well, inline weights or snap weights, whatever weight system you choose, it's a little different with lead core. If you use lead core, which we can go into a little bit also, that's a whole another great way to troll open water spinners. But if you use inline weights or snap weights, you know, if you get into heavy wind conditions or heavy wave conditions, even created by other boats, if it stalls your boat at any time, you get a gust of wind or whatever, it's instantaneous that those weights drop. If you're trolling over a muddy bottom or sand or whatever and it's no big deal, then you might actually pick up a fish doing it. I mean, we actually will turn sharp to stall them on purpose to let them sink. But if you are trolling over any sort of heavy cover, which we have done a lot of in the last month, you're screwed. I mean, the second it drops, all four rods are snagged up, boards are getting pulled under, you know, the clickers are singing, and you're shutting off motors and trying to reel up and get back so you can unhook stuff so you're not breaking everything off and retying for another 35 minutes.
But don't let that intimidate you. The reason why I brought that up is because be mindful of that.
Absolutely.
If you're going to go out and it's a windy day, we're talking 15 plus, which is not bad,
no.
But if it is, you got to keep that in mind.
Right,
or if there's a ton of jet skiers, or not jet skiers, but those big wakeboarder boats.
Wakeboard boats.
They fill
with water and weigh 10 tons.
They stall you.
Plow
it makes it
through
hard.
Like a barge.
Yeah. But if you got good conditions, it's a great way to pick up fish.
And you can be smart. You know, if you have a stiff wind, you can go with the wind and keep a pretty consistent pull going, then that's okay. I personally like going into the wind because I feel like I have more control. You know, sometimes when you get that drift, your boat will kind of get half turned sideways to where you're kind of pulling sideways and
it doesn't line up.
Well, and I, you know, I consistently use, no matter what speed I'm going, I use my gas kicker in conjunction with my electric. Even if I'm doing spinners, that Evinrude 15 horsepower HO kicker motor, I have a RPM adjustment on the handle, on the tiller handle, and I can adjust my RPMs down to where I control 0.08 with that kicker motor, and it is just
phenomenal. Here's the deal, and we're going to talk a little bit about kickers, because I have an 8-horse Mercury. We do the same thing. I'll put it in gear to where it's going to pull us at like 0.9.
Yep.
And then I'll turn on my trolling motor if we're going into the wind, and I can pull it at 1.3, 1.4,
right,
whatever you're going to pull the spinners at. But for the guys that don't have the kicker motor,
your electric will work too.
It'll work, but you're going to kill your battery going into the wind. That's when you're going to be more forced to go with the wind.
Right.
You can always have better boat control going with the wind to keep consistent speed.
And you can use drift socks and all of that. I mean, I, you know, since I you know, I just want to say, guys,
if you're ever fishing a wind and you have only a trolling motor,
right?
You probably safety too, so you're not running out there. But
sure,
go with the wind.
Yeah,
or slip it sideways.
Right, or if you have a boat with a 40 horsepower or 60 horsepower, and you feel comfortable using your big motor in conjunction with it, then you know you power on the big motor to go into the wind with the electric, and then you turn it off
when you come back the direction. Well, if you have like a trolling plate or something.
Sure. You know, I mean, it's just, I'm just saying, I don't mind powering through into the wind. I feel like I have more control. I can keep the boat straight, and I can keep that consistent pull like we were talking about. Even with the gust, you know, with today's, I have the XI5 motor guide. With today's motors, man, you can, you know, you just use that remote, click, 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 couple clicks up, and your percentage on what you're moving just goes up, and it keeps you going.
Well, it's kind of funny we're talking about speed and, you know, and how we're going to do it and with the wind, without. You made a comment about what you like about spinners of slowing it down a little bit.
Yeah.
Right? So you're making that comparison of crankbaits and then going to spinners, like transitioning almost into live bait rigging. You know,
right,
rigging,
right.
Lindy rigging.
Right.
In my mind, I look at it the other way. It's a faster way to pull live bait. So sure. I'm in live bait mode when I want to pull spinners.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
But now I can, you know, go in 1.3, 1.4, you know, whatever,
sure,
whatever speed you're dialed in at. Yeah, we're tripling, you know, what you're linear right at, doubling. So for me, it's a great way to cover more water fast when the live bait bite's going. So like this whole month of June, July, you know, it's live bait time.
Yeah.
Well, if you're a live bait rigger.
That's true. Yeah, and even on the big lakes, when we fished Escanaba, Green Bay, stuff like that, you know, it's a lot of spinners. People pull a lot of spinners now. And you know, it was around that.
Well, and I think a lot of it, when we were up, me and Mitch were up in Green Bay, we were using number six Colorado blades, which is like a saucer. They're humongous.
It's like the lid on a paint can.
Yeah.
The thing that's different out there, too, is you're pulling a lot of open water suspended fish when you're on those Great Lakes, and they're big fish. Really big, so you're using big profile.
Yeah,
but you don't want to zip by them. So I mean, to try to get, when you're pulling a crawler harness with a 6 Colorado blade, that thing's probably about 11 inches when that worms all the way out, or at 9 inches. It's huge.
Right.
It's a huge profile.
Right.
And to put a stick bait out there, it had to be like a 13, right?
Right.
And then you could do one like one that rolls really slow, but how do you keep that speed down? So you're going with that bigger profile.
Well, you got to get
that spinner.
You got to get that thump and that move of the blade, so you got to go faster.
So,
you
know, well, naturally, that 1.3, 1.4 does it perfect
right
for that.
Well,
so
let's cover that. Let's take a step back. I think we got a little bit ahead. Let's step back and let's talk about our spinner rigs and what speeds we use, because I think it's important, and what size blades we would use and everything else. So I would say if we look at doing the open water trolling, let's say behind boards and inline weights, because that's the way I love to do it. And it's important to, when you rig that up, I just use my normal trolling rods, the same ones I would use for crankbaits. And I do a whatever size weight would be.
You're talking 10 pound mono.
10 pound mono. Oh, yeah. The normal trolling
like
that we've talked about 100 times.
One, yep. 10 pound mono.
Yep. And then I tie my own spinners and, you know, and I just clip them on with I like using an inline chain weight. I clip it onto it's like a quick clip at the end of the chain, and I'm off and going, and I don't think it's important to have a huge leader. I still keep my 4 and a half foot leader, and it doesn't seem to have any effect on the fish. I know if you guys do open
the
water.
The leader is fluorocarbon.
The leader's floral. If you guys, you know, do a lot of open water, I know guys on the Great Lakes like to use longer leaders because of the clearness of the water. But I have found that I don't think it matters as much, and the fish will come up and whack it at 4 feet or 12 feet. So, and 12 feet's tougher to deal with. So I keep it at 4.
Well,
so
especially when you're running inline weight, because you can only reel up.
Right, you can only keep it up to the tip of your rod, and that's sometimes a pretty difficult deal, you know. And so if we're going to go longer than that, I might even just throw out lead cord, but that's a whole nother story. But anyways, you know, so you do that, and you use ounce, half ounce, 2 ounces, whatever you need to get to whatever depth you're at. And I like to pull spinners. I use a lot of size 4 Colorado blades.
I think that's kind of the standard. That's like the go-to. You know,
four,
like when
perfect.
We talk crankbaits, we use a lot of 5s and 7s.
Yep.
But I think when you I would say predominantly, Mitch, what would you guess? 95-98% of our blades that we carry are four Colorado.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
I've got a lot of brand new hatchet blades and bigger bigger blades.
Yeah.
But I never use them.
We always end up going to confidence. Back to the four.
Yeah, well, it goes into your confidence. You have confidence.
We have a podcast on confidence, and it's probably because we've done so well using those blades.
Yes. Yeah.
But we've tried the hatch blades. We've tried the willow blades. And there's
Indiana blades.
We've tried, and the Indiana blades have done good with skirted stuff, and that's a whole other podcast to get. But we're talking your standard spinner rig is going to be a 4 foot fluorocarbon
leader.
Jeez, thanks.
Yeah, jeez.
I know. And hook.
That's a debate. Is it really a leader though? Because
you can use leader material. Sure,
it is. So,
I'm going to call it a rig.
Okay. Well, that's where I was struggling with it. I was like, it's not a leader, but it kind of is. So Junior ended up, this is a while back, how to build your own.
Yeah, we did a video. We have it on our YouTube channel.
Yeah, check that out because, dude, I am
telling exactly
you,
what I do.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Two hook harness. And I'm telling you guys, the key, this last weekend at the tournament I fished, I don't think we lost a single fish we hooked up. That, you know, they get up to the boat and they do their, you know, especially the big fish, right? They come up, they get to the boat, they do their run back down. They come, they do that a couple times and your heart's in your throat and you're scared to death. I use those bigger hooks. Those bigger hooks are key. Those fish are coming up and they're inhaling it. They don't care if you're burying a little number four in the back of a crawler or if you have that. I use that size 2 VMC walleye hook, and I don't even think it's wide gap, it's just walleye hook, and it's just, first off, it's stout.
It's stout.
It is, like, that sucker is not going to
bend.
Yeah,
the wide gap we use more for, like, a Lindy rig.
Yeah, and it
But we've used them for the...
God,
I think those hooks you're talking about are just, it's a wide gap.
There's just label the walleye hook. If you go to lureparts.online.com and put in VMC walleye hook, it's the only one that comes up. And I actually think they only come in size 2, to be honest. But and they don't have the colors. It's just the black, you know, nickel finish. But golly, those are great. And I'll tell you what. And I'm going to tell you what I think my secret is. And I think it's important for me. And you guys may think different. But I think a whole night crawler is too much. And I rig all of mine with a half a night crawler. Everyone, and because we will put on a whole night crawler and that rod won't get touched, and if it does get touched, it'll get short strike
tail net
and constantly. But you put on that half a crawler, you got the added attraction of it seeping out whatever's inside a crawler, and it is just shorter. All you want it for is just a little bit of smell, a little bit of wiggle. You want a little bit of meat. You don't need, like you said, you don't need the rig to be 13 inches long. If it's just, you know, that, if you have 2 inches of crawler, that's plenty, you know, because then those hooks are in there, and then they're not coming up and missing the hooks. If they're going to hit the crawler, the entire crawler's hooks, you know, and you're, I mean.
We'll run it about an inch and a half past that last hook.
And we'll do it, I'll do it as little as a half inch.
I mean, we've had a lot of problems with, you know, short strikes, tail nips, so we rebuilt rigs with 3 hooks, you know, to counter it.
I cut them in half. I cut those bad boys in half, and you know, because we'll fish 2 rods apiece in most places we fish, and one half goes on my one rod, and the other half goes on the other, and they both go out, and I use boards pretty exclusively on this. I know you can kind of try to long line it, but that can be tough. And
long lining is, if you're running 4 rods, it's okay to long line as long as you're using boards on your port and starboard side. You can't run, it's next to impossible to put 4 out long line.
Right.
What I mean by long lining is not putting them on a planer board to get them away.
Well, then you have to mess with how heavy a weight you use. You can't use the same heavy weight because you have to let out more line to get it away.
So another good reason to use planer boards.
Exactly. I mean, planer boards really are the key, especially with the tattletale flags. Because then, you know, because you will watch these fish hit these spinner rigs, and they hit them like they're hitting, like we talked about with the live bait podcast, like your Lindy rigs, right? Like you'll watch that flag just kind of pop down a little, you know, like you can see them coming up, and
they're just nibbling.
Yeah, they're just coming up to and hitting it. But I'll tell you what,
nibbling nibblers,
nibbles. even the big fish. I mean, our biggest fish we caught this last weekend, which was 26.5. She didn't just destroy it. It was a little flag kind of fluttered a little, And then the flight goes down and the board starts to, you know, and then once that front of the board sticks straight up in the air and it sinks the back, now you're thinking, oh, yeah. There we go.
Nice one.
So,
You know what I love about spinner rigs is, especially in this live bait association, you know, like this time of year, what a great search bait, because unlike, you know, jigging or Lindy rigging, what's awesome about spinners, that spinner is creating quite the thump in the water. So it first, the fish, you know, even from a distance, they're going to feel that vibration, and it's pretty, well, you can see it.
It's completely different in a crank too. And if you got 100 boats out there and everybody's cranking, it's time to try the spinners. Yes. Because it's something different.
Exactly, Brad. Great point.
Yep.
Well, then their second cue is they say they come in to investigate, right?
They
felt it. Well, they're going to see that flash first of that blade. There's a little more attraction. Now they got the visual going.
Yep.
And when they come in even closer to nail it, well, that scent of the real crawler on there closes the deal.
Yep, seals the deal. And then you have the beads. And, you know, I've had this conversation with lots of guys on whether or not beads are as important as some of us might think. I think they're important. I like the way the beads reflect off of. I use a lot of silver blades. That's just my favorite blade. Above any other, I love the silver blade. And, you know, in Michigan, it might be gold or Wisconsin or whatever.
Purple.
But
go Vikings. No, it's funny. Look at that. You love silver. I know you do.
Yeah.
Brad and I went hammered brass.
Hammered brass and white.
Yeah. Yep. See, but then you have the white beads. My two favorites.
No, hammered brass or white blades.
Oh, white blades. Yeah. See, and I can't get a damn fish on white blades. And I have a whole set of white blades, and I don't know what it is. I can't do it, but I get a lot, and I like just red beads or just chartreuse beads. I don't like mixing them up. I will sometimes do red and green, but together, you know, because that seems to be okay. But those two combinations catch more fish for me out of anything, and I have a bunch, right? Like I'll tie, you know, black and chartreuse beads or white and purple, or I call it Mardi Gras, right? White, purple and gold, or whatever, you know, and I'm just nothing seems to outfish all red beads or all chartreuse beads and a silver blade. And I mean, those are the two I put out. If it's tournament day, those are the two I put out. If it's something where I know I need to get a fish, say like I'm four fish, it's the end of the day, I got to get one, and we go pull spinners behind bouncers or something, man, it's those are the two colors that are going out. So
I'm gonna throw out a free tip on color. If you fish Mille Lacs early summer, Mountain Dew Green.
Mm-hmm.
Mountain Dew Green. Find it, use it, hang on.
Yeah.
Hang on.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then if you're going to do stained water, like we are getting into stained water season here in Colorado, and I know the Midwest is flooding away, but our runoff is late, and it even hasn't even started really yet. But when it does, our reservoirs are going to murk up. The reservoir I just fished was getting muddy, and it was moving a very distinct mud line down the lake every day. And, you know, bright orange is a great blade to use when you're trolling spinners in
muddy
water.
Each lake, whatever lake you're fishing, you know the predominant pattern of color that you like.
Right.
You know, because each one, I mean, when we're down in Trinidad, we use a lot of orange. When we're in Pueblo, it's a lot of white, right? I mean, right. It's just kind of what you get used to in a lake.
Mm-hmm.
Without fishing a memory, right? I mean, you're not just going to stick to that, but you're going to try that first because that's what worked last time. And if it's working, continue. Try other stuff, see if you're going to get better. So wherever your lake is, whatever color that is, just get out and start fishing those spinners. Look at how we build them. Look at how you run those spinners.
Right.
So running the spinners, I want to talk about running them off a planer board.
Right.
There's different things, and we've talked about this in the past before, where we have the trolling Bible, the precision trolling that we've talked about. They have stuff on there on trolling spinners too, so it's great because they have like a 50-50 method on there.
Yeah.
Snap weight stuff. Yeah. You do inline. We do a lot of snap weight.
Yep.
And it's a weighted system, right? And you can do the 20 plus. You can do all kinds of things.
It's kind of, but I will say this, and we've answered a lot of questions actually recently through emails on this. You have to play with it because I got to tell you guys, I played with it for the last 6 days and played with the spinners. Mitch, I see you smiling. But you know, you have to see what it is. Because you know, I'm finding that those are great ways to kind of guess, to kind of get a starting point.
It is. We do fine tune it.
But you have to play with how deep it goes and what speed, because it is so speed dependent. Mm-hmm. That you, I mean, it really is. I can't give you a okay, this many ounces and this much line gives you this much depth. It just doesn't do that.
It doesn't work like that. It really doesn't, because it's going to change with just a little bit of wind pattern.
Sure.
It's going to change with current.
Sure.
You know, those things are going to change. Sure. So you do have to get out there.
And here's a couple of big tips before, you know, we get too far beyond this thing. Two big tips for letting out spinners. A, you can't just open up your bail and let it roll out, because you're going to drop it right. You're going to drop it right to the bottom. Chances are you may only be fishing 10 feet of water, let's say, but you're going to have to let out more than 10 feet of line to be able to fish anywhere in that water column. So if you just open it up and drop it out, you're going to drop it right down to the bottom. You're going to get hung up or whatever. Muck, it's just not where you want to be. Zebra mussels, whatever, gobies, those damn things. You know, you're going to get messed up. So what you do is on the tension adjustment on those trolling reels, if you tighten those up, I mean all the way down, that means you have to hand strip out the line. That keeps it, you know, because you're going your speed, right? You're up to 1.2 or 1.3 or 4, whatever you're going to run it at. You let it out by hand. That keeps it up in the water column. You put on the board, you drop the board, then you can put your clicker on, open up your bail. That retention is still there, or that tension is still there.
Well, your clicker is the one keeping
on top of it. No, it's the tension on top. If you do just the clicker, it'll just spew out and you're screwed. If you do the tension knob still tight with the clicker, it just pop, 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 pop.
I've never had that issue.
It is amazing. It works perfect.
But I've never had any issues once I open my clicker.
It just, it goes back too fast, and those weights drop. And so if you put on the tension knob.
I know what you're saying. I see what you're saying. Sometimes the drag will slip loose.
Yeah, I mean, just any.
Even when it's.
You hit a wave or what, or you get a surge. Mm. I mean, we have just noticed if you put it on, and you know with your cranks, it does the same thing. It's consistent back, right? Well, if you do that, it's too fast. If you put it, because if not, you have to stick your thumb on there, and you have to feather it out with your thumb, because it'll drop down.
How I do it with spinners. Yeah. I'll feather it out with my thumb.
If you do the tension knob and stick on the clicker adds just a little bit more, you can just stick it in the rod holder and get your other one ready. By that time, you have probably the perfect separation, and it's because that's about the speed it will go out. You stick the other one in and it starts to go. And if you're going to run spinners, run them closer to the boat. I know, like with cranks, I like to run them out 100, 140 feet outside of the boats, if not more sometimes. But with spinners, I just stick them out far enough to get them away from the boat, and I keep them close. Two reasons. One is you're running those single hooks. That fish gets on there. I don't want to have to reel in 100 feet of line to get to the board, and then whatever you have from the board to the bait. So I bring it in closer. It gives you more maneuverability if you're fishing within traffic, and you just don't need it. Those weights are down. They're not like, you know, crankbaits where you could be fishing up towards the surface. They're down. They're usually 5, 6, 8, 10, 15 feet down. Those fish don't give two shakes about where your boat is. So just keep it in a little bit closer and keep your spread in, and you'll see good productivity. You know, it keeps more tension on the line, more tension to the board.
I think another thing too, when you're building your own spinner rigs, it made me think of it too, because we've talked about your crawler harnesses on fluorocarbon about 4 foot is, and this will probably be one of our last things we're going to talk about, and I'm sure you guys use them, is the quick click clevis.
Yeah.
That it's just a plastic clevis on there that you can change out the blades.
Yep.
You might not do it because you run silver, but we will run between the hammered and silver. Sometimes we'll use the Mountain Dew green, mm-hmm. whatever. We use a lot of different colors and spinners. I think we usually come back to our first starting jump off is going to be white or hammered, or the hammered brass, mm-hmm. and, you know. But it's so quick. So you're not retying all of your spinners.
No, I tie all mine with those. I don't even know where, I'm sure you can get them, but I haven't even seen one with a normal.
Right, you have to buy a spinner rig that's
cut it apart.
Yeah.
To find the old
thing. I mean, I don't know.
I just know that they're money. You should be doing that. So.
Well, if you guys haven't tried pulling spinners, give it a shot, because you will catch a lot of fish. Great way to cover water, and they're on it right now.
Yep, another very productive trolling method and trolling system to use that will be good throughout most of the summer. I mean, they start to die off about, you know, fall, but
yeah, usually about middle of July it starts to peter off a little bit around here in Colorado. But yeah, it still can be
well
good.
Some of the places we go in Wyoming, they're it's still good all the way through good. The end of August. Yeah, yeah. So
well, from everybody at All Eyes on Fishing, I'd like to thank you for following us and sharing this podcast with your friends. I mean, we've really had a lot of
good
new
stuff.
Followers. I
yeah.
mean, it's just blowing up as far as we're concerned. But make sure what you're doing is sending us these questions on alleyesonfishing@gmail.com. I mean, it's I'll be honest with you, we're getting a lot of questions.
It's awesome.
And we used to be able to respond that day. There's some of them. Sometimes now there's so many that yeah. It's taken us sometimes a week to get back to people.
But we
to
will.
Get through all of them. But yes. We're getting through them. I just responded to one guy. He probably had like 28 questions. On it took a long time, but yeah. That's okay. That's okay. Yeah. He had a lot of great questions that you know, we didn't cover in the podcast, but it made him start thinking. And that's yep. what we want to do with these podcasts is just get you thinking about other things. If you got questions, make sure you're shooting us a line.
Yep, absolutely. And don't forget to visit our website, alleyesonfishing.com, and buy a hat, buy a shirt, buy something cool. Support All Eyes on Fishing. And, you know, the more people that see our logo and the name, the more people that listen to the podcast, and just keep it rolling.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everyone.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Thank you for joining us. Join us again next time where we discuss all of your favorite fishing topics. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Check out our videos on YouTube or read our blog at alleyesonfishing.com. All Eyes on Fishing, leading you to the next level.